I'm honestly humbled and honored. I get the chance to share God's word with you today. We're kicking off a series called Anticipation, and I get the privilege to kick it off tonight, and then Louie's gonna come back the next couple weeks and finish it off. But before we go, and you're like, who are you, by the way? Let's just start even there. Like, what? Like, I'm Brad Jones. I'm Louie's navigator, and I get to help him get around in life and help with him lots of stuff. And then I'm also the student pastor at Passion City Church. Okay, that's good, because if they didn't yell, they might not mean, that might mean they don't like the student ministry, so we're off to a good start. But before, and you, if you just know me as the announcement guy, and that's what you want to call me, that's quite all right with me. That's what I saw a tweet last week. Hey, that announcement guy, who is he? You know, just, it's fine with me. Because it's not about my name, and I know Chris and all these guys, it's not about them. And it's not about the songs, you know, the fact that they wrote them. It is about who, the God of the songs, and who we're worshiping, and his word, and what I'm bringing to you today. And so our hope today is that more than anything, not just walk, you wouldn't walk out of here with our name on your lips, but that you'd be walking out of here with the name of Jesus on your lips. That's what we're really hoping for, and that's what we really need. We need an encounter with God's spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need a meet with him today. That's what you need. That's what I need more than anything. We're desperate for his presence. We sang it earlier, all we need is you. And so that's what we've been praying over you this morning, tonight. We just walk out of here going, I met with Jesus. And I'm just praying that that's where we go. Before I jump into anticipation, being Louie's navigator, I probably get to be around him more than anybody besides Shelly. And I just want to say this, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I cannot even begin to tell you how much I respect our pastor and Shelly, his wife, and how much I love this church. And I'm so glad that we all get to be a part of it together. But awesome. Hey, anticipation. God wants us to live with heavenly anticipation. Looking forward to, excited about what he has in store for us, what's ahead of us. And you know anticipation, I'll put it in some of our own terms, the things in life that we anticipate a lot, the things that we look forward to, the things that might get us really excited or cause us to lose a little bit of sleep or do things a little bit different or crazy than we normally do because we're filled up with so much anticipation. For some of you in the house, you get really, really excited about Christmas. Anybody who's like... Okay, not who, you know, you're just so excited, so looking forward to Christmas. You got the tree up, you got all the presents bought. You're listening to every Christmas CD that you have and you've burned through them all and now you're tired of them because you've been doing it since October, which is too early. Who in here has got their tree up, by the way? Anybody? Okay, about half. Who's planning on not putting a tree up? Okay, we and my wife are on the fence right now. We're not, she wants to. I'm not sure if I want to, but she says that's a, you know, it's our first Christmas. We got to have a tree. But Christmas is awesome, and I'm so happy to celebrate it. But the tree for me is not what it's all about. But that's another point. Here's another thing that we anticipate. And I don't know if this applies to everybody, and I actually hope it doesn't. But there's this craze going around. I think it's just passed a couple weeks ago. You might have heard of it. It's called Twilight Breaking Dawn. Has anybody like caught what's going on there? Like all of a sudden, all women, all girls, not just teenagers. There's some people that are feeling really convicted on the front row because they're the Twilight crazy people. They're the ones that go see it at 3 a.m., not just 12 a.m. when it comes out, but they've got shows that were so popular that were just rolling through the night on the first one. Raise your hand if you've seen Twilight. Who's seen Twilight? Okay. Not, okay, here's a better question. If you're a guy, raise your hand if you've seen Twilight. Prayer team, if we could surround these men, surround these guys. Security, did you see some of them? Question, really, the bigger question is, why did you raise your hand, okay? I have no power over you. You did not have to raise your hand right there. You could have just gone on, what's your name? FJ? You shouldn't have said your name right now. Everybody knows. Now you're raising your hand. Stop, somebody help this man right here. He is a Twilight fanatic. And apparently you get so excited about Twilight, FJ, that you are just like, it just changes the way you act and you don't think clearly. You've just got so much anticipation. Another thing that we anticipate a lot, I know I did, I just got married, I mentioned, and after I popped the question, there was so much anticipation about the wedding day, about the big day. It's the shoes getting bought, the dress getting picked out, the, you know, all the arrangements and the guest list and the invitations and the honeymoon and this detail and that detail, because there's a date on the calendar and it's coming and we got to get ready for it. It's August 27th, right? Is that the day? Okay, August 27th. I was kidding there. I just needed another joke. But August 27th and there's so much anticipation and so many details that go point towards that day. I bet there's some of you in here that got all the details. You got the dress, you got the colors and the preacher and the songs, and now all you need is the guy. And you're ready. And once you find that guy, you can go ahead and fill him in on what the names your kids are gonna be, where you're gonna live. You're ready, you're all set. Now, Mr. Tomlin and his wife, they just had a baby. I would imagine it's the same when you find out the big news that you're pregnant, and then there's a due date. In my mind, there's either a celebration or a, oh my, I can't breathe, I need to sit down kind of moment when you first find out. That's how I envision that going. But either way, there's a due date on the calendar, and it's coming, and you got to be ready for it. You got to be thinking about all that you have to get in order to be ready when that baby comes. So that's a little bit about anticipation. But what I want to talk about tonight and what we want to read in God's word is how he wants you and me to live with a heavenly anticipation. Looking forward, looking ahead, experiencing, receiving, believing for all that he has for us, all the incredible things he has in store for you and me. You ready? Okay, three of you were. That's when you were supposed to do something. Okay, let's try that one more time. Just rewind. You ready? Yeah. Okay, come on. Let's do it. If you got your Bible, let's go to Luke chapter 14. Let's see. This is always the part where I'm like, why didn't I mark it in my own Bible? Because that's where I knew I was going. Could have beat you there. I got to find it. Let me set the scene for you a little bit. Luke chapter 14, Jesus shows up at a party of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. One of the religious leaders of the day is throwing a party, invites Jesus to come along. And if you're not familiar with the Pharisees, they're the religious leaders Jesus is often teaching against, often rebuking. And he's saying, don't do what the Pharisees are doing, because they were all about the outward appearance. They were all about just the rules and just looking good and being like perfect on the outside, but none of it was coming from a heart of worship and a heart of expectation, a heart of anticipation of a God who was coming back for them, who is sending his son, the Messiah, to come for them. There was none of that. So Jesus is at the party and he's invited, and then it says everybody was watching his every move. That sounds fun, doesn't it? Come to our party and we're gonna watch every single thing that you do, and you will not have like a moment of peace. And that's how Jesus probably his whole life operated. Everybody was wondering, who is that guy? What is he? Something is strange about him. He is up to something. He has some seriously unique, you know, power on his life, and we don't know what it is or who he is, but we wanna know more about him. So they're watching Jesus' every move, and he starts off, this is pretty cool. This is really cool. Starts off by healing someone. There was somebody at the house, a guy at the house, his whole body was swelling, most likely from a heart condition. And that's how Jesus starts the party. He just takes it away from him. And I love the thought of somebody being in the presence of Jesus, just wanting to be around him and them getting healed. Love, love, love that thought. So that's the scene. And then we'll pick up in Luke chapter 14, verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. That's really convicting in and of itself. I don't necessarily need to put my words around it, but here's how I assume it's going. Jesus is like, great party. Thanks for inviting me. But I'm looking around, I'm wondering why it's just all your friends who are here. Why it's, you're just surrounding yourself with a bunch of people that make you look good, or who can repay you, or who can do something for you. That's who you, that's the only people you've invited. There's no crippled, there's no poor, there's no hurting, there's no needy, there's no outcast, there's no overlooked, there's no shoved aside. It's just a bunch of people that'll make you look good. But then he says, if you want, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. You want to receive blessing? You want to receive fulfillment? You want to receive a reward from God over all, who's over in charge of everything? If you want to make him happy, then don't just make yourself look good by surrounding yourself by people who make you look good, but open your arms up and invite the hurting and the needy and the poor and the blind. Bring them around you. That's how you're going to be blessed. It's not just about receiving. It's about giving. That's what Paul says. He said, remember the words of Jesus in Acts. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you and I would do so well if we would just listen, if we would realize who it is, this Jesus that is saying these things. He's not just some man, some teacher. He is the Son of God. And by him and through him, all things were created. So he knows how we tick. He knows what makes us happy. He knows how we're going to receive the most fulfillment and achieve the biggest purpose in our lives. The maker, the person that formed you together, knit you together, just like you are. He's saying, if you want to be blessed, it's more about giving than receiving. And that's so convicting for me. And that's so convicting for you as we look at our lives and think about how we live. Do we live a life about giving, or do we live a life about receiving? I've often said, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. I've said, I don't mind receiving so that others can be blessed. If a gift has to be given for a blessing, I'll humble myself. I'll let you receive the gift as long as you give me whatever you want to give me. You can make a check payable to Brad Jones, or you can buy my nicest, my favorite pair of, shoes, or, whatever. I don't mind receiving if you want to receive that blessing. But that's a joke. But it's often how we live. It's what do we want? What do we need? Especially around Christmas time, right? I got to get my Christmas list down. People are asking me what I want, and I got to put more thought into that than maybe how I could bless other people or give stuff away. I don't know if I'm going to give it to Santa or who I'm going to give this list to, but I got to put some serious time into my Christmas list. And Jesus is saying, it's not all about receiving. You'll be more blessed by the God of the universe when you live a life about giving. And if we would just really latch onto that right now in this Christmas season, I believe it would be the best Christmas season we would ever experience. Just to help prove Jesus's point a little bit, I brought my favorite Christmas present probably that I've ever received. And if it's okay, is it okay if I show you all that real quick? Okay, cool. Here it is. Jason's gonna bring it out for me. Right here, I just kind of thought this would help prove the point, but this is my favorite Christmas present. I got it when I was a senior in high school. I got a pair of snow skis. Anybody like skiing? Just for the record, I don't consider skiing in North Carolina on the hills really skiing. I grew up in Texas, so I was a little closer to Colorado where I could go skiing a little bit more on mountains. It's crazy. You're above the tree line. But I was super, super proud of these. And I went skiing a lot with my buddies in high school and college, and we would get to the slopes. And they would have to go in the ski shop and rent their skis and get fitted. And I had my own, and I thought, it's pretty cool. I got my own skis. I really just want to show them to you because they're yellow. And I wanted you to think that I was kind of cool. But Tom and I, we went skiing a couple years ago. And actually just a little over a year probably. And had a great time. And, we skied really hard. And then we'd take a lunch break. And this is where Chris and I started differing on our expectations. He found this really killer lunch spot with incredible chili, and it was warm. So he got the food and the warmth, and I was thinking the snow was really good. He was thinking, I'm really comfortable right now. I'm going to stay here for about 3 hours and eat this chili over and over again. Well, I'm like, we cannot miss out on this incredible powder out there. And so I'll just put these down right now. I don't know why I'm still holding them. But So I was thinking, man, I've got to get out there and ski, you know, my lot, you know, like it's going out of style, ski with all I got because I only get this chance every once in a while. And so I would go over and over. I was going down the same slope, just go, you know, go down, tons of powder, a little bit of trees. I would bite it a few times, get down the lift, go back up, try to do it all over again. And every time I came down, the ski lift operator would make fun of my skis. He's like, bro, those are old. You need new skis. Those, there's better technology, there is better equipment, and you are missing out. It's time to get something new. And I guess I hadn't gone skiing in a couple years. I was still really proud that I owned some skis because I got them for Christmas, and it was an incredible present. And then I realized they weren't valuable to me anymore. And that's just a small picture of what it's like when you and I live a life all about receiving. We're going to have a bunch of old skis over in the corner that won't be able to do anything for us. And so our hope this Christmas season, and this is Louis' phrase, not my own, but that we would live lives of about compassion over consumption. That's the first point I'm bringing for you, before you today, that we would be about compassion over consumption. Not about what we can get, but what about what we can give. And as you look at Luke chapter 14, and he's telling these guys, you need to live to give and not receive, I think there's a really honest question that we have to ask ourselves, each and every one of us. Is Jesus looking around our lives? Is he looking at my life? Is he looking at your life? And is he wondering why we've just surrounded people that can give to us or help us or repay us? Or have you and I not just given some handouts here and there, but have you and I invited the outcast, the broken, the overlooked, the shoved aside? Have we invited them in our lives? And no, maybe it's not inviting them to Christmas dinner, every single person that you meet, but it is inviting them in, inviting them in to experience your life and getting to know them. That's a honest question that I seriously have to wrestle with my own life. Is that what my life looks like? So it's compassion over consumption. And that's what Jesus is telling these guys. We're back to the party in verse 15. And can you imagine the party at this point? Like Jesus, there's a ruler, the leader. Everybody looked up to this guy. He was one of the big wigs, the big dogs. He's hosting this party. He paid for all the food. He invited all the guests. He's probably the person that, you know, everybody in the house respects the most. And now Jesus has just called them out in a pretty big way. And I'm sure it's pretty either awkward or tense at this point, and silence has fell across the whole room. You say something. No, you say something. What do we do? How do we help? This guy just got thrown under the bus. Man, this party really died. And then this guy, poor guy, steps up and says, one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And he was probably doing what you and I would do. He tried to change the subject. He tried to help his buddy out. He was like, let's get this party back on track. Blessed is the one. Blessed are all of us because we get to go to heaven and we get to experience the feast. We'll get back to this guy later, but I just want to tell you right now, don't be that guy. Don't say what that guy just said, because then here Jesus comes. He said, well, if that's what you think, let me tell you this. Verse 16. A certain man was preparing a banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So Jesus' parable starts by a man. He's foreshadowing the kingdom of God. He says it's like a man who prepared a great banquet, an incredible party. And what he's talking about here is not just good. He is talking great. He is talking the best. It's a phrase that we like to use around here a lot. He is talking all time. That's what this party is. That's what it's talking about. The all time greatest party. We use it for meal. That meal was all time. That vacation, all time. Will not be better than that. It's the, you know, that, who knows what, that round of golf. That was all time. I will never play better. I will never be at a better course. I will never have better company. But that's what this party is. And just to help you girls relate a little bit more, I'm not really good, so I was trying to come up with like an example for women, but maybe like the all-time best manicure or something like that. That's what we're talking about. And that's what this great banquet is. It's the incredible things that God has in store for me and you, for the people who he loves and who he's called according to his purpose. He is offering an invitation, not just to, you know, be in his kingdom in heaven forever. Yes, that's coming, and yes, that's ahead of us, but he wants us to experience that right now. The incomparable riches of his grace, he's offered to us right now to experience him and all that he has for us. The psalmist got it right. Let me read if you want to go with me. I'm going to Psalm chapter 63. He realized what this was all about. He says, God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. In a world where nothing else would satisfy, my whole being is longing for God. Here it is, verse 2. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I have seen you, God. I have laid my eyes on you. I have experienced you. I have received the revelation. I have, and it says next, I have beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. That's what he's saying, and that's about the great banquet that Jesus is talking about. It's better than anything this world has to offer. It's all time. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name, I will lift up my hands. I love that moment earlier, man. Lifting our hands up over this whole room, people in worship saying that right here. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name, I will lift my hands. I will be fully satisfied. That sounds good, doesn't it? I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. That's what God is putting on the table. That's what he's inviting you and I to experience. And point number two for you today, if you're keeping track, taking notes, is God is offering you incomparable riches. I got that from Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And it says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Jesus has come and his offer to you is incomparable riches. Will you take him up on that? So here's what happens in the story. Getting back to the party. He says, so they sent out the invitations, verse 18, but all alike, they began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I cannot come. This party that this man was preparing, there was 2 invitations. The first one was just like the modern day save the date. It's tell everybody about the party, tell them it's coming, tell them to get ready, tell them to be prepared. Another invitation's coming down the road. A second invitation went out, and that's when all the preparation had been made. And master sent out his servants to tell everybody the party was on, it was time to celebrate, everything's in order, come to my house, come and celebrate. And these guys, when the servants told them it was time, they started making excuses. They started saying why they couldn't come. Man, thanks so much for the invite, but I've got this field over here that I gotta go take care of. I gotta go check it out. I got these 5 yoke of oxen, I just bought them. I need to make sure they're taken care of. I need to try them out, make sure they're in the best shape. I just got married, and you know, I just need to give my wife all my attention. We got a family to start up. We got a lot of things to do. Got to get our house in order, so I can't make the party. And it was excuses. It was the excuses of everyday life. They had a divided, they had divided attention and they were missing out on the party. They weren't living with anticipation. They weren't prepared for the party and therefore they were gonna miss out. It's especially true around Christmas time, isn't it? There's so many things going on, so many things, like so many people celebrating, so many messages of Christmas, so much like just happening and competing for our attention. You got Christmas trees, you gotta get up, you gotta get decorations, you gotta make the family plans and buy all the presents and cook the meal and figure out whose house you're going to and what you're gonna do this day and that day. And by the time it's all said and done, you're like, wasn't Christmas supposed to be all about Jesus? And yet I just have been so distracted by the whole message of Christmas, the broader picture. Is that the same for anybody else but me in here? I got a picture, a couple pictures to kind of describe what it's like. It's the noise of Christmas. This first picture, I hope Louie and Shelley won't mind me showing you a picture of their house, but this is what Christmas is like for many of us. It's like, what is it really about? There's so many things going on in this picture. Lots of Santas, whoever's house this is. It wasn't Louie and Shelley's, by the way, but whoever's house it was really loved Santa Claus. And they got some little, you know, polar bear kind of thing over here. They got some Christmas trees, got some people popping out of a present, just all kinds of stuff going on, all kinds of stuff competing for their celebration. Got another house for you. This one's even better. This is, I hope this is none of your houses. If it is, I apologize. But this is what, like, this is a good picture of our Christmas. I mean, crying out loud, they kept the pumpkin in there. That's good. Every Christmas has got to have a hot air balloon. You cannot have Christmas without having a hot air balloon. And then you see like Elmo, I think that might be back there. And then possibly a clown, I'm not sure. And then I think Hulk, the Incredible Hulk's on the roof. Raise your hand if you have the Incredible Hulk on your roof right now for Christmas. Okay, thank goodness. No, stop it. You better be kidding. Okay. There's so much noise going around and so many things competing for your celebration and my celebration around this Christmas time when it's supposed to be all about Jesus. And I believe that if there's anybody that should get Christmas right, it should be the Christians. And that we would really, and that's what this Advent journey, these Advent emails every coming into your inbox every morning have been about, embracing Christ in the midst of Christmas, not getting caught up with the noise and the distractions and having our attention divided, but when it's all said and done, it's all about Jesus. And yes, family's important, we're gonna celebrate them. Yes, we can have a great meal, we can buy presents and we can give them to each other, but it's all because of Jesus. That's what we hope this Christmas is about. But it also applies to all of life, doesn't it? That we just get distracted or things are competing for our worship when it all comes down to it, our attention, our focus, and we don't live with anticipation. We're not ready. We don't realize, we don't experience all that God has for us because we're not looking for it and we're not ready for it. And we're missing out just like these guys missed out on the party. An example for you and on the lighter side of things is a couple months ago, Louie got invited to the White House to the National Prayer Breakfast. And as his navigator, I was going with him to just be in DC. We had a few other things going on and was just going up there to help him get around. And I was shocked, but my name was not on the invite list to the White House. And so I was just going and knew I wasn't gonna get to go to the prayer breakfast. I'm like, are you sure my name's not on there? Like, can you, I know, just check again. Just double check that my name did not make the invite list. And it didn't. President Obama didn't think I should be there. And so I didn't go prepared. And we showed up the night before around 9 o'clock and we were at the airport and we ran into the guy that was putting it all together who actually goes to this church. And he said, hey, you can't come to the prayer breakfast, but you can come to the executive briefing at the White House right after it's over. It's actually in the executive offices, but it's like on the grounds of the White House. It's right next door. And it was called an executive briefing. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I'm like, I am there. I get to tell all my friends. I get to tweet about it. Yeah, I went to this briefing and these, you know, officials, you know, told us what they were doing and their plans and how we can help. And I needed to be there. They asked me to come. So I'm going to that thing. But the problem was, is I didn't have a suit to wear. And you can't go to the White House. It's a big problem. I mean, you can't go to the White House in like jeans and a, you know, t-shirt. And I wasn't ready, but there was no way I was turning down that invite. And I was trying to figure out another plan. All the stores had closed because it was after 9 o'clock. Trust me, I called to see if anything was staying up open later. And then I went and dropped Louie off at like 7 a.m. To go to the prayer breakfast. And I didn't have time to wait until the mall opened. I had to be there at like 8 a.m. And I did what you would do. I drove directly to Target, and apparently Target sells suits, and I bought the only suit that they had because they only had one option. If it fits you or not, that's what you're wearing, and that's what I bought. And it was way too big, and like the pants were just huge, and the shoulders didn't fit me at all, and I'm about to go to the White House for this executive briefing. Woo! It's going to be awesome. Had these boat shoes, you know, I mean, they were awful. And I thought about wearing them today, but I thought you might not like that. And so I go to the White House, and the whole time I'm like, is this cool to be here? I feel a little uncomfortable. I hope nobody noticed. I'm just going to kind of stay at the back, and nobody knows my like two sizes too large suit and my boat shoes. And I think everything went well. I think I made it through. It was Morona suit, by the way, if you're wondering what brand. You can buy them. And I could sell you one. But I thought everything went good, and nobody really noticed, and I got to go, no love lost. And so we're on the plane back, and I'm sitting next to Louie, and I was like, hey, Louie, funny story for you. You know how, you know, it's always good to be prepared, and especially when you're the navigator, you want to be prepared for anything. And I just want you to know, I wasn't prepared for today. I didn't have a suit. I bought this at Target this morning. And he laughed, which was great. And then he also, I think, said, thank God, because you wouldn't have normally bought that suit. Because he definitely noticed, as did everybody else that was there. And but that's a funny picture to say, I had the chance to experience something great. And because there was no anticipation, because I wasn't ready for it, I really missed out on the chance to fully enjoy all that moment had to offer. And that's the same thing. And I just want to ask you, what are you missing out on? Because your attention's divided, because you're focusing on the wrong things. What has you so caught up in this world? What excuses are you making? What has all of your attention? What are you choosing to worship over Jesus, and therefore you're missing out on all that he has for you? Because that's what these guys did. And at the end of this chapter, we'll see, or the end of this section, I'll say they missed out. They weren't at the party. God has prepared incredible things, incomparable riches for you and I. And let's not make excuses and miss out. That third point is focusing on anything else will cause us to miss out. Really simple. Focusing on anything else will cause us to miss out. And let me just say the word of God, if you're over you, as you're just living for the wrong things, whether it be that field, which, you know, is so valuable. That's what the guy's saying. I got this field. I got these possessions. I've got this something that's so valuable. I need to go take care of that. Or I've got these oxen, and that's his job. And my job, I can't go to that banquet. I can't go to that party because my job is so, so important to me. Or my relationships in this life that I'm building with my wife are more important, and we're all set. Thanks, Jesus, we're all good. We don't need you in the picture. And that's what you and I do. But God in his word tells us, he who finds him finds life, and he who does not injures himself. It's the richest of foods, the richest of fare in Psalm chapter 63. Nothing else can compare to all that God has for you and for me. Ephesians chapter 4, it says, if you live like the rest of the world, having lost all sensitivity, you're gonna just keep giving yourself over and over again to every kind of impurity, and there will always be a continual lust for more. That's what happens when we've put our focus and our attention and our anticipation on the wrong thing, thinking those things can meet our needs, but in the end, they're just gonna leave us wanting more. But fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Here we go, keep going down in the story, we'll get to the next part. It said, the servant came back and reported these to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master said to the servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get to taste of my banquet. People are gonna miss out, but what I'm offering is so great that I want as many people as possible to experience it. Fourth point, my house, or God's house, is a house for all people. He invited the crippled, the lame, the broken, the hurting. And if there's any of you in here today that are just in so much pain or in so much hurt, your heart's been broken over and over again, or your life has crashed and burned, you're way off track, you never thought you would be in this place, you don't even realize how you got there, and you don't think that you can make a way back, and you definitely think that you have come up with this, you know, some sort of feeling that you don't belong in the house of God. That is not true. It's saying right here, God wants his house full, and every single person is invited. It is a house for all people. So come on in, experience him. Enjoy him, have fellowship with him, dine with him, sit at his table, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are. But Brad, you don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. I've made too many mistakes. There's no way. I can't go into that place. There's not room for me in there. I won't be accepted there. People will look at me weird. I don't belong, I'm unworthy. That is lies. And it's not Jesus who's spoken them over you, because he has said, my house is a house for all people and every single one of you is invited. So come on in and experience him. And in the midst of all the noise and all the distractions and all the things competing for your attention and your worship, there's Jesus to every single one of us saying, come to me and I will give you life to the full. And at this party, there's a couple things that stand out to me. A couple things that are happening. One, we already talked about how when a guy was around Jesus, there was a healing that took place. Somebody was sick and now they're well. Somebody was hurt and now they're good. They were healed. And that happens in the house of God. When you're around Jesus, there is healing. He's offering it to you. It might be a physical, might be a spiritual, it might be emotional. And your healing's coming. It might not come on this earth, but it is coming in all that he's prepared for you, in the kingdom that he has prepared for you to live in forever. There's healing. There's also, I love it, in the story, thinking about such a great party, there's community, isn't it? Isn't it awesome to think that we're gonna get to experience that with each other? We get to experience it now in this house with each other. That's what's happened. It's like, oh my, this is so good. This is so awesome. I'm experiencing so much. This is all time. It is so great that we're right next to each other experiencing it all at the same time. That's what the church is supposed to be like. That's what this house is supposed to be like. It's definitely a house for all people. Passion City is, 515 is, anybody is welcome. And we're gonna experience God's grace, God's love, God's power together. That's what this is all about. That's why we come together. And lastly, in the house, at the party, I feel so strongly that there needs to be forgiveness. And I don't know if you're coming in here carrying bitterness, carrying anger, caring, I've been hurt, I've been messed over, I've been, you know, wronged. And yes, I'm excited to go to the house. I'm excited to be there, but I sure hope so-and-so's not gonna be there. And if they are, you better believe I'm gonna avoid them. And that's real. And that's what a lot of you in here are carrying today. But that's not how this party goes. It's so good that we'll want everybody to experience it. And then we read Jesus' word. He says, get rid of all bitterness, all of it. And I just invite you to that today, just to drop any bitterness that you're holding. He says, get rid of it all and forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You and I didn't deserve an invite to the party, so we shouldn't say that others shouldn't be there. It's a house for all people. There's two more things. This is not points, but just kind of side notes that I really love about this story. I'm challenged, but it's not to be somebody that keeps people from wanting to come to the party. You'll see that. Don't live a life where people are like, he's going to that, and I know the way he lives, and I know what he like is all about. He might say he's about something else, but I see him. I'm around him. I work with him. I go to school with him. Why would I ever want what he had? And some of you in here, some of us, we all go through these times, but we live lives that are not attractive to the rest of the world. Why would I want what they have? Why would I want to live for what they're living for? Because it's not making any difference in their life. Don't be those people. And back to the guy who said, blessed is everyone who gets to eat at the table in the kingdom. What he was really saying there, I think, was, hey, we all got invited and we're good. It doesn't matter what is happening in the rest of the world. He was saying it's an elitist, exclusive party, and I don't care if anybody else is coming or not because I'm gonna be there. But the church is not an elitist, exclusive party, but it's for everybody. And so let's be like the servants who went out to the city, who went out to the streets, the alleyways, the outskirts of the city and invited people to come in, compelled people to come in. It's like the door holder. We say door holders a lot in here. It's people who've been on the inside but then go out to the door to open the door to let other people come in and experience what they've experienced. That's what we're supposed to be. That's the lives that we're supposed to be living. This is so good. This is so great. God has incomparable riches that he's offering to me that I've experienced. I've seen his power. I've seen his glory. I've been in the sanctuary and I want the world to come on in and I'm gonna live a life. I'm gonna be one of those people that are going out inviting people to experience what I've experienced. That is what it's all about, and that's what the way you and I need to be living. We've got anticipation. We're ready for the party. We're experiencing all that God has for us. We're looking ahead to this kingdom that will never end that he's invited us to, and we're inviting the world to experience that with us. Some of you are like, that's great, Brad. Thank you so much. It's a great message, but easier said than done, right? How is that possible? You painted this picture of our lives being perfect, but we're not perfect. We've got so many hurts and hiccups and, you know, we're banged up, damaged people. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live a life of anticipation? Where do I go from here? I do wanna be somebody that's inviting other people in. I do wanna be somebody that people look at my life and say, I want what that guy has, but what am I supposed to do? Just give me a few things to hold on to and a how. And that was the question I was feeling coming over me as God was giving me this talk. And I was like, I don't know how. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. I don't know what to do or the five steps to give our church that we could all live this way with such heavenly expectation. And then the Holy Spirit led me to this verse that was breathed out through Paul, and it's in Titus chapter 2. And this was the how for me and the how for you. It says verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Amen, thank you for that. The grace of God, Jesus, has come. This story that we're celebrating, the whole point of the nativity scene, the Christmas story, it's the grace of God coming to you and me, coming as a baby, and Jesus lived a perfect life, died on a cross bearing all of our sins, rising again, offering us life and victory. Jesus has come. It all starts with Jesus. It's all through Jesus, mine and yours life, all Jesus. That's where it is. It said, the grace of God has come. He's come to you. He's come to me. He says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Second word, first was Jesus. The second word is focus. Say no. Say no to the things of this world that are not gonna meet the need of your soul. Say no to the ungodliness and the worldly passions. Don't have anything to do with them. Say no and live for God. While on earth, it says in this present age, live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Live lives that honor him. Live lives that are for him. Every single thing that we do, saying no to the things of the world, but saying yes to living for God. Focus. And it says, while we wait, here's the anticipation, that's the third word, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're gonna say no, we're gonna live for God, and we're gonna wait. Jesse was talking about it earlier. We're always in the spirit of Advent, waiting for a God who's already sent his son to redeem us and make a way for us to him, to experience him. And he is coming again, people, so that we might spend eternity with him in his unending kingdom. That's what we're waiting for. So anticipate, look ahead, it's coming. Its offer is on the table, and wait for it. Your appetite should be wet because it's on its way. Anticipate. He says, anticipate Jesus who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Fourth word, become. Become the people that God wants you to be. Become the person that God will be proud of and be eager to do what is good. God, here is my life. I'm not believing what the world has to say and who the world says I am, but I'm who you are saying I am and who you want me to be. I'm pointing my life towards you. Make me into your very own, a people of your own possession, someone that you are so proud of, someone whose image I bear. I'm gonna reflect that with all of my life, and I'm gonna be eager. I'm gonna be so excited. I'm gonna be so looking forward to every chance that I get to do good. And what if every single one of us in here walked out of here today saying, I'm eager to do good. I didn't just go to church. I didn't just sing songs. I just didn't show up at something, but I'm walking out of here with the name of Jesus on my lips, and I'm eager. I'm excited. I can't wait to share that love with other people. So it's become. Jesus, focus, anticipate, become. Let's aim our lives towards Titus chapter 2 and living that out. Jesus, thank you for your word. Your word through your Holy Spirit and your scriptures and your word through your Holy Spirit in our hearts today. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for speaking to us, meeting with us, the chance to encounter you and be in your presence. We want to walk out of here never being the same.